We're back on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from over at FanRagSports.com, along with Trevor Sycamore of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we are talking about East-West Shrine Game practices number two today. And Trevor had boots on the ground in St. Petersburg, Florida, where they're holding the practices, and he got to see firsthand some of the future greats in the NFL. Great, is great to stretch, Trevor, or you think there's some guys that can make greats down there?
You know, actually, somebody was telling me the number of guys that get contracts from the East-West Shrine Game is a lot higher than I thought. So who knows? You know, it might be some NFL greats. Who knows?
There we go. I mean, it's always a possibility. Everybody's always hoping to find a quarterback and from the Shrine Game that goes on to excel in the NFL. And, you know, that's more of a pipe dream usually than anything else. And yesterday we talked about it, and you thought JT Barrett had the best day of any of the quarterbacks there. And there were some ups and downs with just about everybody else. Anything different today on the quarterback front, or was it mostly Barrett and then everybody else once again?
I still think that Barrett was like the top guy. You could tell again, he was pretty in control. He had one pass that didn't go his way, got tipped, ended up getting intercepted. But other than that, he had a dime to the Penn receiver. I think his name is Justin Walton, I want to believe. Justin Watson. And so he threw a dime pass to him that was beautiful today in the scrimmage. But I will say, too, Riley Ferguson from Memphis, a lot of people like him. He was kind of all over the place in day one, a lot more settled down in day two. He was connecting with the Northern Iowa wide receiver, Fallon. And so, you know, he just looked like he had settled down a little bit, got more of his bearings into him, and he was a lot more controlled today. And that's good, because whenever you have a quarterback with a big arm, which I think Ferguson does, if you're not in control of it, you can look pretty dang bad. And he just did not look comfortable yesterday. Looked a lot better today. And even Quinn Flowers from the east side, I think both those guys look pretty well today. So a better day all around from the quarterbacks.
Chase Edmonds get banged up today. I know he had a good day yesterday. It seemed like I think somebody was saying on Twitter he tweaked an ankle or something.
Yeah, he did. His left ankle, not sure exactly what happened there, but he left practice, was limping on it, kind of like walked a little bit back out onto the field, but never ran again after that. Went to the sideline, got on the cart, and they had ice on his left, you know, foot ankle area. So not exactly sure what that is. Don't know if he's going to be able to go tomorrow, but we'll see. I mean, he was the best running back of the group from the east side, certainly, again today before he went out.
Yeah, it seems like there's a right now, anyway, it seems like there's a kind of glut of talent at the running back position there. And we talked about that maybe being the same case in Mobile, kind of just a glut of guys that aren't nobody necessarily separating themselves, but some talent there for sure. It looked like Edmonds might be a guy that was able to do that. How about in the receiver group for either of these East-West rosters? Anybody stay? I know day one, it was kind of like we need to work on chemistry. There wasn't a lot of that with the quarterbacks, not seeing a lot of guys really get in a rhythm or anything like that. Anybody stand out, though, from either of these two teams?
So Fountain, I believe, is how you say his last name. The kid from Northern Iowa, he was the guy who I was talking with some people yesterday. He's from the East roster. They talked about him as being super athletic, you know, running close to the 4.4s, jumping close to 40 inches. So they were saying that he was a very athletic kid. I have no idea if that's true or not, but they gave him a lot more of a chance with the ball in space to be able to get a lot of that run after the catch, see that kind of athleticism. I thought he was the big standout guy from the east side, especially today from that wide receiver position. Kind of a quiet day overall through the air for the west side, so wasn't a lot of standout guy. I mean, Stephen Dunbar, I guess, from Houston stood out a little bit, I guess, if I'm picking out a west receiver, but really just not a lot of production from the west in terms of the passing attack. So it was more the east side, and I think Fountain was the top guy.
That's interesting with Fountain, because we may have some athletic guys down at the Shrine Game. It's from what it sounds like so far. A lot of people that told me that the South Dakota State kid, Wynicke, can really get up, compete for the ball, 6'4", 215. So even if he jumps well at that size, there's going to be some teams really intrigued by him probably. We've talked about Bede being a speed guy for Oklahoma and having that. Anything else stand out from the – well, we talked about the wide receiver group a good bit, but I guess we really haven't talked about the tight end group. You mentioned yesterday Jordan Thomas from Mississippi State, 6'5", 200 – he's listed 280 pounds. Did you say that was right? He's listed on this roster as 280.
Dude, he's huge, man. Oh, like, I don't know if he's exactly 280, but he's huge. He's – and I was standing next to him, and obviously – after the practices, anytime you got a guy that big, plenty of teams are going to circle around him. They're going to want some interviews with him. And they were talking to him, and like, he is tall, he is built, he is thick. He was a wide receiver, and they're playing him at wide receiver. And you know, they were asking him the same kind of questions they were asking. Who was the kid out of Shepherd last year? Brown. He was the guy.
Oh yeah,
like
Billy
that.
Brown.
Billy Brown. Yeah, that mixed tight end wide receiver kind of a thing. They were asking Thomas now the same kind of questions. Like, hey, if a team wants you to move to wide receiver, are you going to do it? Because then you're going to have to block a little bit. But if not, you're just not agile enough to play wide receiver. You
right.
You're a great big body, but we need you to play tight end. And he,
oh yeah.
I didn't overhear his exact answer. It's not sure if he was given a little pushback, but you got to think this kid's a tight end at the next level. So,
he's 6'5", 280. If he plays receiver in the NFL, he's like the most special athlete in world history.
That's what I'm saying. And so he's not. I guess, nice enough of an athlete for that kind of size. But holy cow, man. You know, it's so he was an interesting guy. He had plenty of interest afterwards. Man, and you know what? Ethan Wolfe from Tennessee, okay?
Yeah.
He's not a traditional tight end. He's one of those like kind of like fullbacky kind of tight ends where it's like you're playing this hybrid position. But I see the Bucks do this with Allen Cross, who is this fullback tight end special teams guy who just makes rosters. You know what I'm saying? And so he's a guy that you love to keep around because he's what coaches would call a glue guy. And I think Wolf kind of does everything pretty well. And so he's not going to be a star tight end, but in terms of a guy making a roster, I kind of like Ethan Wolf. I think he's had a pretty good past couple of days, especially, you know, today. I thought he did really well. Him and JT Barrett had a bit of a connection going on.
Does he do any lead blocking down there?
I can't remember. I think so, because they had him like off the line of scrimmage and like what would be like a wing formation, you know?
Yeah.
So they didn't have him necessarily like lined up as
in the
a
back
fullback.
Field, right. Okay.
But they had him, you know, like a step back off the line playing that tight end. So I assume they had him do a couple of, you know, split zone stuff where he's coming across the line of scrimmage,
sure,
getting into some blocking plays like that.
Is Javon Wims hurt?
I think so.
Because I'm seeing him on the injured
seen,
list here, and that's a bummer because
yeah,
he's supposed to be in Mobile.
I have not seen his number. So
that makes me wonder if we'll get – because he was bumped from Shrine to Senior Bowl too. Makes me wonder if he'll be good to go in Mobile, or if we'll see someone else get bumped up. Cam Phillips is also hurt, so he would be the guy that I would assume would get the bump. I wonder if it could be anybody else. If
Cam Phillips would be the best wide receiver here.
I believe so. And I'm not even crazy high on Phillips. I just thought with his kind of his production and some of the things that he did that he would be at the Senior Bowl. But if he's hurt and Wims is hurt, then somebody else could get the bump up, or they could go outside the Shrine game to find another wide out. And they may be looking to bring in one more anyway, because I think there's 13 right now. So they may be looking to add somebody regardless. But Deshaun Hamilton's a guy that stood out to a lot of people day one. From what I saw, continued to stand out. Really bright kid, well-spoken kid from everybody that I've heard from. Did he stand out at all to you on Tuesday's practice?
Nah, I've been looking for Deshaun Hamilton to stand out, but he just hasn't yet.
Huh.
You know, I think he's still running with the first team. He was still running with JT Barrett. So, I mean, he's getting his opportunities, but, you know, it's practice. Not necessarily all the plays are lined up for everybody, but
right.
I haven't really seen Hamilton stand out. And he was a guy who I thought would have, just hasn't yet, now halfway through the Shrine Week.
Offensive line is, I mean, it's billed as a bad class. We haven't really seen anybody at the Senior Bowl that we're crazy excited about. I mean, there's some names, certainly some guys that we'll be looking forward to seeing, but in terms of like guy that grabs your attention at the top of the draft, doesn't seem like there's one. It kind of slumps down into the Shrine game and drops off a little bit more even. Has anybody stood out to you? Is, you know, I know you talked Cody O'Connell up a little bit yesterday, saw some good things from him, maybe a couple other guys. I know Brian Allen's a guy that you've liked a lot too, the Michigan State center. Anybody else stand out today?
I thought both of those guys had, again, great practices. I thought, you know, consistency, having good practices back-to-back days, that's impressive to me. The Syracuse kid, Jamar McGloister, I think that is his name, McGloister, maybe?
The huge kid. He's huge, right?
He had a really great morning practice, and then he got carted off and had to get taken off on an ambulance.
Dang.
He might have broke – he might have broken his collarbone or torn a pectoral muscle or something, but ouch. I was really disappointed in that because he was actually having a great practice. Dijon Allen's another guy from Hawaii, who I saw flash a little bit, especially in the, he was a force in the run drills for the West team today. So I'm going to keep my eye out on him for the rest of the week. But those are two new guys. Unfortunately, for Jamar, I'm not going to be able to see him anymore because I doubt, you know, that he'll be back certainly anytime you go off in an ambulance. But still need to hear exactly what happened to him. But Allen, I thought, had another great day. O'Connell had another great day. Toth got a lot of interest. You know, you talked about him, Brett Toth from Army. I think he got a lot of interest again after practice today. I think three or four teams were looking and talking with him individually. So
he's got an interesting – well, he's going to be one of the more interesting guys to watch in Mobile, I think, because, you know, at Army, they're not really doing a lot of traditional pass sets and things like he'll do in the NFL. So it's, you know, it's really very different for a guy like Toth. You know, different footwork. You have to learn a lot of different things that you – rarely practice, at least, or maybe never practice in college. So it'll be a very curious transition for him. But definitely be worth watching. Before we get to defense, you know, you're around, you talk to people when you're there, other people making observations, whoever it might be, maybe some people who watch a lot of these guys, many of them from smaller schools, year round and things like that. Has there been any type of consensus on who might the NFL like more than anybody else at the Shrine Game? Is there anybody that really stands out in that way as a guy that you see a lot of people flocking to after practices and a lot of it seems to be generating a lot of attention or interviews or things like that? Or you just think that the NFL could be really interested in, even though they're just a Shrine Game guy, not a Senior Bowl attendee?
I don't know how much that last part you said there was, but I'll definitely say all the Ohio State kids, man, everybody just goes around them. And let me tell you too, it's a good thing you brought it so I could say this. Chris Worley had an incredible practice, the linebacker. One pass rush drills, and I'm not kidding you, smoked every running back that he went up against, like immediately. None of them stood a chance.
Like a variety of moves, or just
he hit a spin move on Johnson. He had a swim move on Ralph Webb, or maybe it was vice versa. Maybe it was the other way around. But I mean, like, they just stood no chance the whole time. Anytime that Chris Worley was going up against him, he was doing great. Damon Webb, the defensive back, corner / safety, kind of a guy. There were a ton of teams looking at him afterwards.
Did they play him some at corner?
I think so. I think he was. Nice. I think he was up playing closer to the line of scrimmage for a couple of reps.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the point of these all-star events, you know. Let's see, see what a guy can do. And so I thought the Ohio State guys definitely are well known. They're well known around here.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense actually when you say that, because a lot of experience. I mentioned yesterday, Webb is the only guy that kind of returned from that starting four for this past year's senior year at Ohio State. Along with Malik Hooker and Conley and Lattimore, who all went to the NFL, obviously. And then, you know, Worley had to take his knocks at Ohio State, where they've churned out a ton of really good linebackers. But he's played pretty decent football at times there. Honestly, there were a lot of play. I would say that he was better in a lot of ways than Jerome Baker this past year. May not have the upside of Baker, but I thought he was better this year than Jerome Baker was. Baker was much more of a liability, I thought. So that's definitely interesting to hear. The guy that you loved yesterday, the Kenny Young, the linebacker from UCLA, anything from him today that he stand out at all?
I mean, there are a couple of plays here and there that I like from him. Nothing like a sack or an interception or a big takeaway play from him. Again, the West defense, I don't know if it's the coaching, I don't know if it's a group of kids, whatever it is, they're very aggressive right now. They're flying all over the place. They're making it difficult for this West offensive team to gel and get together and show some highlights themselves. And so I think the West group just overall was certainly elevated, and Young did fine today.
And did they switch things up at all with the West team, with the defense running offense and so on and so forth?
So instead today, the fun way that they ended practice is they went five offensive players, five defensive players. You got to kick I think it was a 15-yard field goal. Maybe it was a 20-yard field goal. Whatever. You got, like, the corners, the wide receivers, the pass rushers. One guy from each unit had to go up and try to kick a field goal, and my God, were they terrible. Oh, my gosh. It was so embarrassing to watch some of these guys attempt to toe poke the field goals through.
When you're Trevor Sekema, you can launch from about 50 and hit. So it's just disrespectful to watch pedestrian efforts at this thing, I bet.
I almost said, give media a five. Give me a media five. I'll be in it. We'll do it.
That'd have been outstanding. Who won, and how did it go? Like, who was the best of the kickers?
Hold on. I can't remember. I think it was – What's his number? Hold on. I'm looking it up right now. I got to make sure. Because he got the glory, so I got to make sure I get his name right. Jake Winkie, yeah, from South Dakota State. Piped it right through.
Nice.
Right through. And he was the only guy who got it.
Oh, my. The only dude who made a 15-yard field goal?
Oh, everybody else is miserable, dude.
Oh, my goodness. It's not even hard. That's crazy.
Maybe it was like 20 yards. I don't know.
Still,
maybe
it's like a 20-yard field goal. That's still pretty. Wow. Jake Winkie. That's the guy I was just mentioning. He's the one that played with Dallas Goedert, and both of them kind of – that South Dakota State offense was pretty fun. They got a couple guys at the Shrine game. One of their – I think their center, Jacob – I don't know how to say his last name, but anyway, he's there. Owen Sorge or something like that.
I knew you'd pick the guy whose name you can't say.
I always do, man. It's like a magnet. I don't know how these dudes find me. Seems like there's a number of names that I feel like defensive back-wise here that could definitely play, and I'm like, even you see so many of the small school guys at the Senior Bowl, and you're just like, I don't know. Part of you thinks, you know, what if we put the Shrine Game DBs against the Senior Bowl DBs? Would it be a little more comparable than it typically is anyway? But we'll see. Maybe some of those small school guys surprise me a little bit at the Senior Bowl once I get a chance to look at them. Defensive line-wise, edge guys, 1v1s, I don't know if they had those today. Did they do any drills where any of these guys stood out in terms of pass rush ability?
Yeah, Joe Osman, again, second day in a row, man. He's the best guy here, I think. He's the best pass rusher here. Chad Thomas, we talked about him yesterday from Miami. He cooled down a little bit, did not have nearly as good of a day today, was kind of locked up on a lot of his assignments. Puna Ford's a guy from Texas that I know a lot of people like on the interior from the defensive tackle spot. He just struggles to get off blocks, man. When they're doing those one-on-ones, he gets engaged and he can get a little pushback. You know, he's able to knock his offensive lineman back a little bit, but he just can't get off of it. Marcel Frazier from Missouri is a guy that I was very intrigued about as an edge player coming in. He does a lot of, and I've talked to people around the event about this. He does the hard stuff well. And then he can't finish. Like, right off the snap, Frazier will be – he'll have a good first step. He'll be able to put a couple of different moves together here and there. Like, he'll be able to spin by his opponent or something or blah, blah, blah. And then he can't finish it. And it was the same thing today. He was, you know, flashing moments of right off the snap. It's like, oh, wow, he's got his guy beat. And he can't finish. He can't get to the quarterback. He can't get a sack. He can't get around the edge. So he's a very weird prospect to me. But then Joe Osman, he had a couple of sacks today. One of them was a sack where he had a move right off the snap and then a double swim move right after that to get by, like, the extra blocker that came over to handle him, and he still got the sack. Wow. So he's definitely the top pass rusher here.
Has he been better than any other player that you've – I know there's a lot of players to watch, and you may – obviously, we know the fact that you maybe haven't seen absolutely everybody, but in terms of you being at the practice 2 days now, has he been the most impressive player out of anybody at the Shrine game?
He'd certainly be one of the first three names that I name if I were to go down and think about who's been the most impressive. Yeah, he would. He'd be one at the top of my head for sure.
Definitely gonna have to get to his tape then, because I have not seen any of Osman really at this point, so definitely going to have to get to him and check him out. How about Fularunso Fatakasi, our dude from UConn? Anything from him?
No, he had another good day. Just a solid day from him. I don't remember him making necessarily like a highlight play or anything like that, but I think he is he's a very strong guy in the middle. I think he's the better interior defensive lineman for that East group. Yes.
Nice. Interesting stuff. Always good to hear from you about different guys who maybe stood out during the day and maybe could see at potentially, I think, at the Senior Bowl as well. And you know, as they continue to develop and we continue to see what kind of NFL future and potential they may have playing against other top competition, it's always good to be able to evaluate these guys in that light. We're going to be doing that in Mobile, obviously, next week. Very excited about it. Lots of names to watch. We'll start with the linebacker group. We got to do it, finish up our previews, and we've been going through We've done tight ends, wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, defensive line, edge defenders. Go back over the last couple days and listen to those pods, guys. They're really good stuff, and we broke down each of those position groups pretty good. The linebacker group in Mobile is one of the ones I'm more excited to see, I think, than any of the other position groups. Shaquem Griffin kind of highlights that list. You know, we've talked about him playing with one hand. The fact that he's able to do things as well as he does with just one hand, to be the way that he's able to be as good of a tackler with one hand, 6'1", 223 pounds is what he's listed at currently. We'll see where he comes in. I think weight could be one of those issues, but he is really explosive, and he might play harder than anybody else in this group that's going to be in Mobile.
No, I mean, you know, I love him a lot. I was super excited for him to get the invite to Mobile, the fact that he accepted it. I can't wait to get to interview him, to watch him, to see what he can do against some of that great competition. Because, I mean, we saw it against Auburn, man. He was still flying all over the place in that Peach Bowl game. And so I think that he absolutely deserves a shot to prove himself and to be at the Senior Bowl. And so this is not in any way a small school or a pity kind of invite or acceptance. I think that he has been absolutely one of the best linebackers in the country.
Yeah, for sure. And he won't be one of the only ones that's there. I mean, Rashawn Evans has really stood out this year for Alabama. Sean Dion Hamilton, before he got hurt, I know he will be there. Obviously won't be participating fully or anything like that, but we'll be doing interviews and meeting with teams and things of that nature, which will be good for him, hopefully. So we'll get to see him there in that capacity, hopefully talk to him, see how his recovery's going. From Rashawn Evans, we mentioned, from Alabama, has been the guy that's probably one of the most, probably the most high-profile guy of the linebackers that'll be down there in Mobile. Very athletic, great size, extremely violent and physical football player, but his form as a tackler goes out the window sometimes. He's got the perfect traits to match up in coverage. I think he improved there this past year. He can rush off the edge situationally, so teams are going to love his versatility, his physicality, his intensity. How well does he communicate as a linebacker? How smart is he? And how much better can he get as a tackler? Because I think the sky's the limit with Rashawn Evans. He has crazy tools, but linebacker is a really weird position in that you can have great tools and not necessarily shine, because it is so much about instincts and be able to read and recognize keys and identify formations, communicate with teammates, get your guys set, know your gap assignments and all those kind of things. And Evans improved significantly in that way. This was his first season as a starter at Alabama. He started one game, and it was the national championship against Clemson, because John Dion Hamilton had went down in the Washington game, and he stepped in for him next to Reuben Foster in the national championship game, and Evans lit it up. I mean, I think he led the team in tackles in that game. He wasn't perfect. I think he had like 15 tackles, though, and he was all over the field. And he has that kind of ability, but can he consistently make the right play rather than make the play several yards down the field? That's kind of what I'm looking to see from Evans when I watch him.
Yeah, and I wish you could see Dion Hamilton too. I really like that duo from Alabama. You kind of said it all there from Evans. He's a guy who does a lot of linebacker work, but does a lot of edge work too. And so it'll be interesting to see how they play him at the Senior Bowl, where they're giving him the most reps, what they want from him. I wish Dion Hamilton could be there too with him, but football, man. It's a violent game. People get hurt, and that's the sucky part about it.
Right. We haven't seen any of the FCS guys. Nick DeLuca, I know he's known as a thumper, kind of a two-down type of guy, bigger for a linebacker, more like old-school size, like 6'3", 245, 250. Micah Kizer is kind of in the same vein as him, I think. 6'2", 240 for Virginia. I think what you're going to see with Kizer is decent ability to play within a limited range of space. When runs get to the outside, or when he has to show off range or coverage ability, I think that's when you're going to see Kizer get exposed a little bit. I think that could be true for a lot of these guys that are going to be there. Mike McCray is another guy that I want to see how he moves and how he operates in space, because I think those guys could be a little more limited when it comes to those kind of roles, because they are more of your 6'3", 6'4", 250 type size that fits more of a two-down type of role. And I think athleticism would be a big question for all those guys.
Agreed. You said it all there again.
We got the undersized group too, though. You've got you've got multiple elements to this, and you've got McCray and these like thumper types, and then
yeah, no, but I kind of like that though about All-Star events. I mean, some people don't like All-Star events because it takes people out of their element, or it's not in a situation where you know they're not going to play in, and I get that, but we already know how guys are going to look in situations that like we feel like they're already going to be in. I like seeing it from a different perspective, kind of playing next to different kinds of roles and trying to understand how a guy is going to play in maybe a system that he's not as friendly with and all
sure,
that kind of
yeah.
thing. So.
Absolutely. No, I think that is super important in roles that you didn't see him in. It's what Hassan Reddick did, and it's why he flew up boards after the Senior Bowl last year. He helped himself out a lot by being able to do some roles that he wasn't necessarily asked to do a ton in college. And I think you will see maybe not anybody like that, although we've talked about some guys that could potentially move from edge and play off the ball some. But those undersized linebackers are more and more coveted, I think, when you see guys like Telvin Smith and Miles Jack killing it over with the Jack from Jacksonville Jaguars. And Eric Kendricks wasn't the biggest linebacker. Now he comes out. Ryan Chazier wasn't the biggest linebacker. You know, there's so many guys. They've moved to this smaller type of linebacker that can run and that is just as physical, even if they might not be as big. I think that's an important distinction. I think you have to bring a certain level of physicality and instincts even at a smaller size, but I think you can survive in today's NFL at a smaller size at linebacker, especially in the right scheme. So guys like Sky Moore from South Carolina, I am really excited to see Sky Moore. And he's had some off-the-field concerns. He's going to have to answer questions about those. Teams will want to interview him. Media will want to interview him. How does he conduct himself there? That's going to be a key part of his evaluation. But I think this could be an environment for him to thrive. And Dorian O'Daniel for Clemson did a lot in coverage, had some great interceptions, was a splash play guy for Clemson, did a lot of different things. I don't think he's super polished in terms of reading and reacting versus the run, but he's a nice player that could work his way into the day two conversation, 6'1", 220 pounds. He showed some not really nice things playing a bigger role for Clemson this season than he had in the past, a redshirt senior for them. So those are two guys that I think could definitely stand out in the Senior Bowl. We mentioned Evans, mentioned that we haven't seen the FCS guys, Nick DeLuca and Darius Leonard and Miles Pierce. I'm always really interested to see those guys, especially because they range. We mentioned DeLuca, known as kind of a thumper type. Miles Pierce is like 6'5", 11", 6 foot, 225. He'll be one of the lankier linebackers that's there probably. And then, of course, we got guys like Trey Williams from Auburn. I've seen a little bit of Trey Williams live. I like him a lot. I wonder how much he was aided behind a really good defensive line that I thought seemed to play at a pretty high level most of the season. So those things all play into it and go back to what you said. You know, we're going to get to see them in an environment that's a little bit different. We'll also get to see them if it's run like it was last year. And we got to see linebackers one-on-one flexed out in the slot against running backs and tight ends in coverage, and that's where guys like Reddick stood out and guys like Ben Bowler were completely incapable of being able to match up in coverage in that way. So you had that obvious issue that you knew was going to carry over to the NFL, and even though 1v1s are definitely slanted a little bit toward the offense, you can still see baseline traits, techniques. You know, Jalen Mills, I remember as a corner, I know, but a couple years ago in 1v1s when he was at the Senior Bowl, he read the three-step game and broke on the ball so well. Now, he does have a propensity to bite a little bit underneath in the NFL and give up double moves, but he still was able to read and react so well to the three-step game and kind of keys that he was seeing in route runners and things like that. So that's what I like about the one-on-ones. It allows us to kind of isolate and focus on specific aspects of a player's skill set. You know, he's not recognizing those things from film study on a certain receiver. He's recognizing those things from a couple reps in practice or something he's seen commonly in receivers
before.
Because of his experience. So that it adds a whole new layer to it, which I think is really fun. So it's going to be a fun linebacker group. It's going to be one of the best Senior Bowl groups, to be honest. I know everybody's kind of said that. I don't even think it's a great draft class, but I think because of that, it's prompting everybody to play in the Senior Bowl because no one really knows where they're standing. I think everybody's trying to prove themselves. Oh, there's all these spots. There's this space available. You know, we're hearing from agents and scouts and people as we talk to the NFL and stuff that there's not like a lot of set in stone order at the top or not a lot of stars in this draft. We're going to go and we're going to play. We're going to show that we earn and we deserve to be in a spot like that at the top of the draft. So I'm really excited to see that part of it play out. And I think the level of competition will be up there as a result. So it should be really fun stuff. Tomorrow we've got more Shrine Game stuff from you. We've got more Senior Bowl previews from both of us. Should be really fun. It's that all-star time of the year where Shrine's getting underway and we're starting to look ahead. Senior Bowl, I think the rosters get broken up tomorrow. Today or yesterday was the last day to declare, I think, for players. Maybe we got some guys going back, like Bryce Love's going back to school, DeAndre Baker's going back to school. Who else? Adonis Alexander's going back to school. So there's some guys that we thought were kind of coming out. You know, obviously Christian Wilkins, Cleveland Farrell, those were guys that were mocked in the first round for a lot of people. Austin Bryant, another Clemson defensive end, all deciding to go back to school as well, which was a little bit of a surprise. So it's going to shake things up in terms of the way we see the draft and in the order and things of that nature. So it's going to shake things up, but it's also going to open the door for other guys to be able to prove themselves again. And these All-Star games are a perfect example of where that can happen. So looking forward to continue to break down what's happening in the Shrine Game and what will happen in the Senior Bowl, as well as hopefully getting close to being able to announce kind of some of the plans that we have for Senior Bowl week in terms of the Locked On NFL Draft show and how we're going to proceed with that, because we got some really, really cool, fun stuff lined up for you guys, and I'm excited to share with you. So until then, you make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.